Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
B-Pod Studios.
Danny Ainge is president of the basketball operations for the Boston Celtics, and he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Danny Ainge, hello, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. Sorry about that. You guys changed your number. I didn't have your new number.
Yeah, sure. That's what all the people say. Yeah. Why haven't you called me? And then they go, oh, I lost your number. And I say, for heavens to Murgatroyds. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great.
That's good news. That's good news.
You're looking good. We haven't talked to you since everything kind of went down. How frustrating was it to have your team going through the playoffs and all the questions about, you know, free agency and everything while you were essentially instructed, right, by a doctor to not watch the games or have to be hands-off for the first time as a GM?
Yeah, you know, I only missed watching one game, and but I was very much involved, you know, right after that one game. I was back into it.
Now, were your family members and loved ones saying, for the love of God, please, don't just step away for like a week, and then you just defied their wishes?
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, kind of. You're cutting in and out, but I got you there. Yeah, so was your family begging you to just step away from the job for just a little bit?
Yeah, they were, but I did step away a little bit. I mean, Mike and Austin were doing a lot of things that I might have been doing at that moment, but I was watching the games. I found it way more stressful not watching the games than watching them. So it was a rough patch, but it was very frustrating on top of that, just by the way we were playing.
Which players were reaching out to you during that time? Did you keep in contact with, were there several players who you thought went above and beyond in trying to make sure that you were okay?
Yeah, no, I thought that, you know, most of the guys reached out to me and just asked me how I was doing. And, yeah, they were very respectful.
Did anybody shock you? Any like enemies in the industry reach out after all that happened?
I wouldn't say I have many enemies. I think that there's obviously some great competition in our league, but yeah, many competitors.
Yeah, well, it seems like they're just trying to butter you up. So I would I would just ignore that stuff. All right, so you had a press conference yesterday, which my son attended because he is part of the Celtics camp. You're welcome. I'm sure you get a cut of that. And by the way, there's a 12-year-old kid who's 6'1". Keep an eye on him. It's not mine. You talked about how you had a feeling Kyrie Irving was thinking about going somewhere else in March. How do you navigate that situation from then until free agency starts?
Like I've said before, I mean, Kyrie and I talked often. He was always respectful and open with me about what was going on in his mind and his heart. And I just had a feeling. But at the same time, you know, Kyrie, on his own merits, came out in training camp last year and announced that he was going to resign. That wasn't me pushing him in any way. That wasn't me suggesting that he even do that. He wrote his commercial in December about wanting to come back to Boston, finishing, retiring his number and so forth. And that was all Kyrie. And then he had a change of heart, or just had some frustration, I would say, would be the best description, and had less certainty about all that. And then he rallied again and felt like things were going better. We went 10 out of 11 games leading into the All-Star break. It felt like his and Brad's relationship was getting better. But he did express to me on a couple of occasions between March and the end of that he really wanted to go home. And you know, I got the impression at that point that he wanted to go play in Brooklyn more than he wanted to play in New York.
So it sounds like he straight up informed you in March or April that he wasn't going to resign.
I wouldn't say, you know, he never closed the door. He left the opportunity open. He, you know, and because he had been, you know, he had changed his mind over the course of the season, that, you know, we still left that option open. Things changed or things got better. And, you know, we obviously have a sweep in round one against Indiana, and we win game one in Milwaukee, and, you know, we're still hopeful there. And, you know, then we just went in a spiral, and we played worse basketball at that point on. But, you know, I think that he didn't inform me that he was gone. He didn't inform me that he didn't like Boston. He didn't inform me that he was for sure gone. It was just like, that's where his heart was, and I think he was going to look into that. But, you know, he wanted to take some time and decompress and figure it all out.
So what do you say to Kyrie when he says that he's thinking about returning home?
What do you mean? What do I say to him about that?
Do you say anything to try to convince him that this is indeed the place where he should stay, that it's a better situation? I mean, obviously he's your player, and I know how much you liked Kyrie Irving, as did many people. When he gives you that indication that he might want to return or play at home, what do you say to try to sell him to stay?
You know, I'm not trying to sell him to stay. I'm trying to give him the space to make his own decision. You know, I don't want to beg any player to come and play, and I want them to want to be here. I'm not trying to sell or anything. Kyrie is very well knowledgeable of what we are doing and who everybody is, and you know, he has a big life outside of basketball as well. He's more than just a basketball player, and his father lives in New Jersey, and he has a family, and there's a lot more things going on with him. He's a complicated guy, a deeper guy than some. It's not just as simple, and I respect his decision.
Okay, Danny, when you hear reports that Kevin Durant and Kyrie had talked about playing together in Brooklyn as early as the All-Star game, as a GM, how does that make you feel?
That's just, that's a world we live in. I mean, that's fair in the rules, and, you know, that's the kind of culture we want to create. We want to create, that's what we're trying to do, is create a culture where players want to come play here. And, so, you know, that's sour grapes to be disappointed with that. You know that it's going on. We see that's what's happening, and players have they've earned the right to be free agents and make their choice.
You mentioned a couple times, Danny, that, you know, Kyrie Irving was frustrated, and then you talked about the situations where he was frustrated in that the team might have been losing, and then he felt better going into the All-Star break because you guys had been playing well, and he felt good when you swept in the first round of the playoffs. If he was frustrated about losing, isn't that a lot on him? I mean, he's just waiting for the team to win. I mean, he's your A player. He's your number one player. That sort of sounds sort of selfish to me.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's not all just wins and losses. Listen, I just don't think that our chemistry was good. I mean, it's not just Kyrie. There's a lot of people that are involved that form the chemistry of a team. And I know that from day one, a lot of people put a lot of heat on Kyrie of being the guy that is supposed to be this great leader, that was, you know, it was his responsibility to you know, lead everybody. And I continually tried to remove that pressure from Kyrie and just be yourself. Just go play. Just have fun. Find joy in the game. Quit trying to be something you're not and just forget about all this nonsense about, you know, you have to get other people involved. You have to be the leader of the team. You have to be Superman to our team. And, like, that's not... He doesn't need to do that. And I think that he did feel that burden and that he had to be too much and wasn't able to do that.
Okay, so, Danny, yesterday you said... And, by the way, I think that we were all happy when the Kemba Walker signing. He seems like a... You know, a good guy. Obviously, he's just completely destroyed the Celtics the last few times they played him. So he's a guy you want on your side. But you said yesterday that Kemba Walker and Enes Kanter was plan A. Wasn't plan A Kyrie and Anthony Davis and maybe even plan B Kyrie and Al Horford? Like when
he said, I think he meant when Kyrie left that they had a contingency plan. Yeah. That was the two other
players. Okay, so when did you know or when did you... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So I think that, yeah, so I said after the draft, and I think that after the draft, we, you know, had an idea of that Kyrie was not going to be with us, but yeah, way back in, you know, during the season, we had a different plan A, but as we were preparing for free agency, you know, leading up to it, the Thursday and the Friday before the Saturday where we actually start free agency, we had a pretty good indication that, you know, Horford could be gone and might be gone and that Kyrie was gone. So, yeah, this was our plan A.
Real quick, Rich,
I have a follow-up, is that you had mentioned that if maybe Horford knew that you were making the moves that you did, that he might have reconsidered leaving. Is that true?
Yeah, like I don't know that for sure. I don't know what was going on through Al's mind, but I got the impression that Al wanted to stay. We were, you know, in the process of negotiating a contract extension with Al, and, you know, I thought it was going well. It wasn't exactly the money that he wanted, and that might have been the factor, too. I don't know all the details, but he didn't know what our plans were at that time because we, you know, we don't know. Like, we have no idea if we can get Kemba Walker, and we didn't know we had Kemba Walker, and, you know, until Sunday of July 1st. And, you know, we had hope, but we certainly didn't have, we didn't know that we were going to have him.
Was the choice that Al Horford made to go to the Sixers a shock?
No. I mean, I think that Al, you know, he really likes to play the four more than the five. You know, he liked playing with Aaron Baines. He liked, he didn't mind playing some five, but I think he prefers playing the four, and I think that, you know, going to Philadelphia will allow him to be, you know, almost exclusively a four.
But it's also, you know, as a GM, too, he's going to the rival. Like, how much of that you just like, oh, boy. I mean, you know he's got to get his money, and you know it's a place where he'll probably do well. But also as a human being and as the competitive nature, Danny, that we know you have, did you just kind of go, oh, of all the teams, it had to be the Sixers?
Yeah, I mean, it's a different era. You know, it's just like I can't imagine that would have ever happened in my time of playing, but... it's a different world that we live in. It doesn't seem to be those kind of same rivalries. And, you know, there's rivalries with the fans, but sometimes not as much with the players.
All right, well, let's talk about a summer league phenomenon. What's it going to take for Taco Fall to make the team?
You know, I don't know. We're trying to still... you know, get a contract done with Taco. We haven't signed him yet, so I really can't say much more about Taco than we're just trying to get him in the fold. He's been, we brought him in for a couple of days to work out, and hopefully we can get that done, but we'll see.
But you like his game, though, right? I heard you saying that he makes you laugh.
Yeah, no, he makes me laugh. And I do like his game.
That's on every scouting report. Yeah. If you looked at Jordan's scouting report coming out of North Carolina, they're like, his game made me laugh. Is that not true?
Yeah, I would say smile is more than anything. I mean, he just has a unique game.
Freakishly tall.
Hopefully we can get something done with him.
Yeah, you sell a lot of jerseys. All right. So Enes Kanter, by the way, playing with the 12-year-old kids again, there was a 6'1" 12-year-old playing in that game. That is biologically unfair. And nonetheless, Enes Kanter has got issues, obviously, traveling to Canada and things of that nature. Is that something that you were paying attention to before you signed him? And are you confident that wouldn't be an issue during the season or in the playoffs?
Yeah, we looked into that, and all of our intel said that he would have played in the NBA Finals in Toronto when he was with Portland. We feel that's an issue we can resolve.
Now, this is a question I just got texted from our good friend Tony Maz. You want to know, could you have acquired Kanter if you kept Horford, given that he didn't want to play center?
Yes, we could have acquired Kanter, sure. Because, I don't know if he would have wanted to come. I think that the opportunity to play in Boston, was really one of the reasons why Enes took less money to come into Boston. But yes, we could have acquired him with just Horford, but we couldn't have acquired Kemba had Horford stayed.
All right, so basically this is the better decision, that you don't want Horford and Kanter. You obviously wanted a Kemba Walker, I would imagine. I'm not putting words in your mouth, but I would imagine that's the case. All right, well, I'll tell you what, they certainly seem like nice guys. There's a picture, if you ever go to bostonglobe.com, of you looking very affectionately at Kanter. You seem like a man who's pleased at what is going on, and we really appreciate you joining us.
Are you able to still eat Chipotle with this new diet?
I was going to ask him, but I don't want to ask him to badmouth anybody.
No, not badmouth. No. Just I want to know if, like,
medically,
are you able
to? Yeah, I'm eating the tofu salad, and I actually like it. It's good. But I do go to Chipotle still occasionally.
Okay, so you've gone vegetarian?
I wouldn't say that I'm eating mostly plants.
What's your cheat meat?
I don't really have any cheat meat yet. I haven't really been eating any meat. I mean, I took a bite of a piece of salmon last night from my daughter, who I went to dinner with last night, but... Yeah, I don't really have a cheat meat, but I don't know how long I'm going to just be total 100% plant-based, but I am eating a plant-based diet.
Yeah, they make you do that. It did it to my dad. That lasted about 5 minutes. Well, listen, it's not an easy thing to do, but everyone says the plant-based diet. It's good for the globe. All right, well, listen, Danny.
Charo is on a plant-based diet, so... There's a hope for all of us.
The Love Boat star?
you mean Chara?
Yeah.
Oh, he's plant-based?
All he eats is plants?
Really?
He's a plant-based diet, yeah.
I mean, you can get protein from tofu and from black beans and things of that nature, so.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's like 6'8" and does like 30 pull-ups. He's ripped.
Yeah, like John Joseph from the Cro-Mags runs triathlons on it, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. You guys need to consider this,
Danny. There's so many things that I need to cut out of my life.
Seriously,
before
don't
we get
kill
to
all
meet
our fun, Danny.
Right. I have so many things that are going to. I have a physical coming up in September, and I have a feeling a lot of things are going to be suggested. But I think it's going to be bad news. But nonetheless. Danny Ainge, thank you for joining us. We really do appreciate it this late in the season, or this late into the off season, and glad you're feeling well. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. Good talking. Talk to you later.
Right. Thanks, Danny. Talk to you later.
Danny Ainge. There you go.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
This is Ty Law, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Have you ever seen 100,000 square feet of pure fun? Come join us at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Be amazed at the 30 Luxury Bowling Lane, a multi-level go-kart track featuring car number 24, multi-story laser tag, and more. Apex offers delicious chef-inspired menu with two full bars serving craft and local beer, plus signature cocktails featuring my very own Corbis Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Come to Marlboro and visit or check us out at apexentertainment.com.
Hi, I'm Jim Burns, sales manager from AAA Work Trucks, your local truck upfitter in Billerica. We all know your truck setup is critical to your success on the job, so choose AAA Work Trucks to upfit your vehicle. We sell and install virtually everything your commercial truck needs, from van shelving to ladder racks, lift gates, toolboxes, power inverters, and much more. Call 866-783-6222, and we'll come up with a solution that works best for you. Visit us at AAAWorkTrucks.com. That's AAAWorkTrucks.com.